sent our kids home. So I had to get my reacquainted with my woman. So we did that, and I wanted to stay a little longer, but I had to come home. But it's good to be back. Are y'all doing good? You doing good? If you're not doing good, we're glad you're here. So say hello to someone next to you. Just give, throw them a kiss. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. And since I've been gone, there was an announcement about Prop 8. I know we were very involved in that. And if you... we haven't made a response. I haven't been here. But if you go to my website, milesmcpherson.com, I have a little blog up there and just responding to it. The bottom line is that it's all in the hands of the courts, and we're just going to pray the court do the right thing. And pretty simple. Psalm chapter 8. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the rock and all the people here and all the stuff that's going on around San Diego and the world through people here at this church. And we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are God and no one else is. You are so good. You are so awesome, incredible. Thank you so much for getting us through the hard times and the good times in our life. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was 10 years old, I was standing on my block in front of my house. And I looked down the street, and there was this girl. She was 10 also. And she was a high yellow sister, like I was a high yellow brother. High yellow means like light skin. For all y'all don't know what that means, red bone. She was a little brighter than me, but she was beautiful. This is my first, she ended up being my first girlfriend. And I remember looking at her, and she lived about 10 miles away, but she would come visit her cousin who lived around the corner on the weekends. And I remember looking at her, and I was scared to go talk to her. If y'all remember when y'all were 10 or 9 years old, or whenever you had your first crush, and you wanted to talk to them, but you didn't know how. So you kind of send notes back and forth, or smoke signal signs, or you drive by the house and just look at the house. And I just remember being real awkward, and even when I was around her, we just sit there and kind of say silly things, but your heart was saying something. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Some of you may even have a little flang for somebody right now. You get kind of hot when they come around, and you stumble on your words. Well, that's how I was with Pat. You know, I didn't really know how to communicate to her. I didn't have my groove yet. I didn't understand the rap, and you know, I didn't understand, you know, all that stuff. And then I met her cousin. Same thing. I ended up dating both of them at the same time. You know, when you're little, dating is really no, there's no sexy or nothing. It's just, you know, like write a letter here. You didn't call up because it was too much money, so you couldn't call them. So it was really a very non-relationship. But to you, you're in love. But I didn't know how to communicate. As we continue our series on the royal, say royal. Royal. Say royal. Royal. We're studying the Bible and studying how to understand the different literary styles of the Bible. And we saw the first book of the series Royal was called Warriors, where we studied in biblical narrative. And biblical narrative talks about what did happen in the Bible. These are stories about real people, about real things that happened. Then we looked at the next book in the series Royal was Loyalty. We looked at Old Testament law, where God tells us what should happen. First, we looked at what did happen. The law, Old Testament law, talks about what should happen. Next, in September, we're going to look at prophets, which is going to tell us what will happen. But now we're going to look at poetical books. And we're going to call it soul food. Everyone say soul food? Because in the poetical books, God tells us how our souls should respond when it does happen. How should our soul respond when things happen? And we're going to define our souls as the immaterial part of our life, our mind, our intellect, our emotion. And, you know, we have our body, and then we have our soul. And so the soul is the invisible part of who we are, which really makes up who we are. When you die, it's your soul that goes to God. Revelation talks about the souls of those who died and who died for their witnesses is in heaven. And so your soul is your immaterial part of you. And so Soul Food, this series, these next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about how God empowers our soul to communicate to him. When we worship, okay, it's your soul communicating to him. Now, your hands are involved in worship. Your voice is involved in worship. Your body can be involved in worship. Sometimes you'll see people, they're doing this. You don't have to do that. It's like a hippie days, you know, the flower child. And some people worship God and they get all whatever. And some people just sit there like this. I don't know how engaged you really are. That's why when I came out and encouraged you to lift your hands up, you want to be set free. This is a sign of freedom. It's a sign of surrender. It's like when the popo points a gun at you, you surrender. Amen? You don't sit there and you do this. You do this. I give up. So that's what that means. I give up, God. And when I first did this, I did this. I couldn't lift my hands because I wasn't set free yet. So I would rock like the Hebrews at the Wailing Wall in Israel. Okay. And then I would do the Tyrannosaurus Rex. I had this going on. And then I was in Chino State Prison visiting, doing a chapel. And I did this, and I was like, come on. God was like, Miles, no one in here knows you. Just let it go, brother, let it go. And I was like, I was free. So that's what that's about, is you want to be free. So worship, even though your body's involved in worship, it comes from your heart. And so in poetical language, God is going to teach us how our soul should respond to God. Now remember, the Bible is a relationship book. Everyone say relationship book. The Bible's a book from God to us saying, here's how I want to have a relationship with you. That's what it's about. It's a relationship book. Matter of fact, it's a marriage book. We are married to God. Union with God, oneness with God is marriage. When man and woman get married, the two become one. That concept comes from the Bible. Not only does it come from the Bible, God created it as a metaphor, a word picture for our relationship with him. That's not me talking. That's the whole Bible. Every chapter in the Bible talks about relationship and marriage. God is the husband. The church is his bride. All throughout the Bible. And in fact, matter of fact, in Revelation, there's a wedding. Jesus and his church get married once and for all in heaven. Okay, so it's a relationship book. So in this relationship book, God's going to tell you, here's how I've dealt with my people in the past. Here's some of the guidelines of our relationship. And now I'm going to tell you, here's how I want to communicate to you. And by the way, here's how I want you to communicate to me. God is amazing. He covers all his bases. Let's look at our notes. Number one in your notes, there are five poetical books in the Bible. Five poetical books in the Bible. Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Five books that are poetical books, strictly poetical books. Now, there are poetic language is all throughout the Bible. Matter of fact, there are seven prophetical books, books by prophets that are entirely used poetical language. And there's poetry all throughout the Bible. But there are five books that basically are labeled the poetical books or poetical books. Number two in your notes, poetic language or soul food, as soul food, empowers our hearts and minds to communicate to God and like God. How many of you have ever been, you've been so excited you can't even express your excitement? Anybody? God is going to say, when you're excited about me, I'm going to tell you what to say. How many of you have ever been mad at God? Some of you are like, oh, should I raise my hand? Is he going to strike me down? I've been mad at God. I have cried tears and said, God, and I've said somewhat these words. Now, let me preface it by saying this. God doesn't owe me anything. God doesn't owe me anything. I'm indebted to God. Is that clear? But in my anger and in my pain, I have said, God, all that I do for you, can I just have this one thing? It's about a family member. Can I just have this one thing? Why are you doing this? And you know what? That's okay. The Bible says be angry and don't sin. It's okay to be angry. Matter of fact, next week, we're going to do a whole series, a study. Next week's sermon is going to be about how you can pray for vengeance on your enemies. How many of y'all want to hear that one? Okay. Now, you might say, man, that's biblical. It's biblical. Here's a great thing about God. God says, you're going to have enemies. They're going to hurt you. They're going to do stuff to you. And you're going to want to take vengeance. I'm going to tell you how to pray for vengeance on your enemies. We're going to talk about that next week from God. Now, I know some of y'all thinking, man, for real? For real, though, it's really true. God is going to teach us, and I'm not going to say anything more than that. Don't judge and don't assume what it is. Just come. But if you got an enemy, or if you think you're ever going to have an enemy, or if you think you ever want to get somebody, come next week. We're going to tell you how to get them. But let me tell you, it will always be consistent with this Bible. So don't think it's going to be what you think. Just don't think about it. Just come. Okay? Number two. As soul food, God empowers our hearts and minds to communicate to God and like God. So we want to say, when you want to say anything to God, whether it be joy, whether it be sorrow, whether it be sadness, whether it be complaining, whether it be venting, God says, I'm going to tell you how to say all that. Because I want you to communicate to me. So I'm going to tell you how to say it. I'm going to give you guidelines. Like with my kids can be angry, and I want them to tell me when they don't disagree, but don't cross that line. You know, parents, you can say, oh, I don't like that. But don't jump bad, because there's a certain line of respect that we should all have with each other, by the way. And so God is saying, I'm going to give you the guidelines for complaining to me. I'm going to give you the guidelines for worship me. I'm even going to tell you what to say. I'm going to tell you what to say. Here's how you disagree with me. God gives us all that. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. Number three in your notes, poetic language includes prayers and songs to string the instruments and teach our hearts how to worship. Matter of fact, most of the Psalms, when you look at the book of Psalms, which is 150 Psalms, they are songs to string the instruments. Whenever you read a psalm, you're reading a song or a prayer that is sung, and the reason it's sung is because it's easily memorized when you sing it. And so God is saying, I'm giving you songs, and by the way, all these psalms talk about all kinds of topics. We're going to read a few today. It talks about how to confess your sin, how to complain, how to cry out to God, how to ask for mercy, how to acknowledge his mercy, how to acknowledge his power, all this kind of stuff. And God says, I'm going to give you all this because you need to know how to say all this stuff. And by the way, you need to know you should say all this stuff. In other words, you should tell God how good he is. When you pray, the first thing you should do when you pray is tell God how good he is. First thing you should do. A lot of times we pray, we get on these, oh, dear God, please do this for me. Hold up. Tell God how good he is first. Why? For several reasons. Make sure you put God here and you here. Okay, a lot of times we come to prayer, God is down here, we're up here. God, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. No, put God here, you here. Acknowledge all the good he has done for you. Acknowledge his mercy, his forgiveness, his blessings in your life, and then put in perspective your complaint. That puts in perspective your complaint. It puts in perspective who you are and who you're not. You're not God. You're not even his peer. You're not even his homeboy. You're his servant. Now, he can be your friend. I mean, I'm not saying you can't say Jesus is my homeboy. I know they got those shirts, Jesus is my homeboy. Okay. He's Lord. He's Lord. He is your friend, but just remember he's Lord. Let's read Psalm 8. Psalm 8, God is telling us. Now remember, these are God's words to us, telling us what to sing to him. Everyone say God's words to us, telling us what to say to him. Or about him. Just keep that in mind. Look what God says to us. Look at what God is saying to us, telling us to say to him. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name, your name, in all the earth. Who has set your glory above the heavens? Listen, just imagine you saying this. God, look up here for 1 second. Imagine you saying this to God. God, how excellent is your name above the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies. This is God. You're telling this to God. You want to know how to pray? Just read that. Let's keep reading. It says that you have silenced the enemy and the avenger. Lord, when I consider your heavens. Everyone say your heavens. They're not your heavens. They're not my heavens. They're not Discovery Channel's heavens. They're God's heavens. Can I get amen? God is saying, I want you to say this. When I just consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the work of his what? His what? You know what God did with the stars? He did like this. Oh, yeah, the Milky Way galaxy. Watch this, Jesus. And he's telling us, yeah, y'all figure that out. I'm going to put the Horsehead Nebula. A nebula is a space cloud. I don't know how big the Horsehead Nebula is exactly, but nebulas can be 2 and 3 and 10 and 20 light years long. The work of his fingers. It says, when I consider the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained. What are the work of his fingers? The moon and the stars. The work of his hand. That he is saying, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? Remember I said when you pray is to put God first? You get on your knees and you say, Lord, before I complain about the raise I didn't get, before I complain about the wife you didn't give me, or the husband you didn't give me, or the little house that I have, I want a bigger house, let me acknowledge that you put the stars in the sky. Let me acknowledge that you are the victor over my enemies. Let me acknowledge that the stars and the moons and the universe that's expanding at the speed of light because you stretch it out like a curtain, the Bible says. Let me acknowledge that you can do all of that. And the fact that you do all that and you think about me, thanks, God. Thank you that you didn't have one of them stars fall on my head. It's verse 5. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with the glory and honor. Look what it says in verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all the sheep, all the ox, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the sea. You know what the Bible's saying? When you look at the oceans have a path. You call it a current. Everyone say current. Matter of fact, if you ever go to the beach, and especially in the morning when it's calm, you will see ripples on the water, and then you will see smooth parts through the water on the top of the ocean. There's little currents, the paths of the sea. God wrote stuff in the Bible before man discovered it. Why? Because God created it. Ha! Look at verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So here's what God did. God says, hey, church, I want you to read this to me. Matter of fact, church, I want you to sing this to me. Church, I want you to remember this. How excellent is my name, not yours. I put the stars in the sky. I put the moon in the sky. Turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Again, God is going to acknowledge and remind us that he blesses and protects those who care for the poor. It says, I will love you, O Lord. I will love you. Everyone say you. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my what? The Lord is my rock. What's a rock? A rock is something you stand on and don't move. Jesus is our rock. When the whole world, the economy is going up and down, people's opinions about everything goes up and down, left and right, God never moves. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's reliable. When your friends backstab you, then they tell you they love you, God is the rock. Look what it says. I will love you, O Lord, my rock, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Again, you are telling God, God, I will love you. You are my strength, not him, her, it. You are my salvation, not him, her, it. You. God is telling you, say this to me. Matter of fact, one of the most powerful ways you can pray is to pray God's word. Why? Because God's word is his promise. All you got to do is say, God, you said this. You said this right there. In Psalm 18:1, you said this. Now, keep in mind, God can come back to you and say, yeah, but I also said this. And you didn't do that part. So just keep in mind, okay? But it's all going to be consistent, okay? Number 4 in your notes. Number 4, poetic language as soulful reveals the attributes and actions of God for us to contemplate. not only what to communicate, but what to contemplate. What should we think about? What should we remember? What should we go over in our mind over and over again? Think about this. Meditate on this. Okay, turn to Psalm 89:1. Psalm 89:1. Psalm 89:1. Here's what you think about. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. God is saying, I want you to say this. I want you to do this. I want you to think about this. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Now, I want you to think about this. How many of you, let me just do a poll. How many of you have in the last week complained to God about something? Raise your hand real, be honest. Okay. How many of you have sung about his mercies? Except for in here. Okay. Imagine telling God, God, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Instead of complaining about what you don't have, start telling God and acknowledging to God what he has done for you. Acknowledge to God all the blessings he has given you, all the opportunities he has given you, the health he has given you. My wife and I are in our 50s now, so we have to get a colonoscopy. For all of you who don't know what that is, they put a four-foot camera, they look 4 feet into your body, not in your mouth, and look around. So we went to the doctor the other day for a consultation. You need to go to talk to the doctor before they do it. So we went to the doctor first, wanted to meet the guy because, you know, we're going to be all personal and everything. Wanted to meet the guy. We're going to be very, very intimate. And we went to meet him. And I'm one, you know, those little kids that go, when you have a little kid that asks a question, Mommy, why is the car red? Why isn't it blue? Why is it, and just why? That's me. As an adult, I ask questions. So I went into the doctor. I go to always doctor's office with a pad and paper. And I asked minimum 20, 30 questions. Sometimes doctors get irritated because they want to get in and out. And other times doctors love to talk. They sit there and they go, ask me questions. All right, so this guy was, he was cool. He was like, any more questions? I was like, for real? So I asked him all kinds of questions about the colon, the stomach, the small intestines, the bowels, how long it takes food to get through from your mouth and come out the other end. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but the distance between your mouth and when the food goes in, the food comes out, is 30 feet. And if you didn't know how long 30 feet is, when you watch a football game, a first down is 30 feet. So every time you eat, your food makes a first down. This is for real. Can anybody verify? Anybody here in the medical field can verify am I true? I'm going to tell the truth. It's for 30 feet. Now, it's not a straight line, obviously. There's 30 feet of tube from here to here. 30 feet of tube. God put all that in there. And we're not going to get into the science, you know, the epithelial, the columnar epithelial, space squamous, all that kind of stuff. We ain't going to get into all that because it's really complicated, and I don't know it all. But when your colon, he's going to put a tube 4 feet into our body and look at our colon. And here's I have many questions, but one of them is, can I have a picture? I mean, I want to see my own colon. If you're going to see my colon, I want to see my colon. He says, yes, we're going to take pictures and we're going to put them on and we'll email them to you. The whole report, and we'll show you pictures. You'll be able to look at it. I said, well, what should my colon look like? He's showing me a picture. Here's a healthy colon. Here's pictures. Here's a polyp, which you're looking for, little polyps that can become cancerous. And hopefully your colon is going to look just like that with no polyps. Now, you may not care what your colon looks like, but you should. It's your colon. So my wife and I, we think we're going to be healthy. God, we pray that we're healthy. It's up to God. 50 years of putting stuff in there, what has happened? God, it's yours. When I was in the womb, my mother's womb, the Bible says God knit me together. Say knit. And if you ever see a picture of a body with no skin on it, you know when you go to the doctor and it has all the muscles and the connective tissues, what does it look like? God knit us together. All like that. God's a bomb. He says, I want you to say this. And you're not even going to know what you're saying to say it because I'm way ahead of you. Okay, I want you to say it. Look what it says. And by the way, the reason I tell the whole colonoscopy story is that it's going to be the mercy of God that I'm healthy. Not because I ate good or bad, because I didn't eat good all my life, and I don't eat perfect now. It's going to be the mercy of God. That's it. Mercy of God. Look at Psalm 41 real quick, and then we're going to do something really cool. Psalm 41. Matter of fact, I'm going to have Awestruck and Steph coming out now as I'm doing Psalm 41. You guys can come on out now. Psalm 41, look what God says. And remember, God wants you to contemplate this. God wants you to contemplate. In Psalm 41:1. It says, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him into the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed. You will sustain him on his sickbed. Your enemies will lie, cheat, and steal and beat you down. God says he will not deliver you to them. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, look at number 5 in your notes. Poetic language includes wise proverbs and riddles that empower practical decisions in our life. And again, Proverbs is one of the poetical books. There's a lot of wise riddles. We're going to look at some of them in a minute. And poetical language, number 6 in your notes, poetic language or soul food uses various forms of parallelism, where two or more parts of one sentence refer to the same subject in complementary ways. Now, whenever you read the Bible or Psalms or Proverbs or all these poetical books, they seem to rhyme, and it's not a story. It's a line, it's a sentence, and they use parallelism, which means parallels when two lines go together and don't touch. It's a math term, parallels, that's parallel. These are all parallel. They never touch, okay? This is intersecting. They touch. Parallel, intersect. Parallelism was where when you read a line and then you read another line, and these lines are talking about the same subject, but they're either reinforcing the same idea or their opposite idea. And so what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks, as you read the Bible, because we're going to give you devotionals, you're going to look for certain things when you read poetic language, and one of the things you're going to look for is which parallelism they're using. And there's two kinds that we're going to focus on. There's many more kinds, but there's two kinds we're going to focus on. Number one in your notes, it should say synonymous parallelism. Synonymous. Everyone say synonymous. Synonymous means, S means same. That means the second line and the first line reinforce the same idea. And we're going to have a modern day version of it. Steph and Awestruck, you guys can come out now. Turn to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. Now we're going to read, I'm going to read a line in the Bible, and you're going to see that God is going to say, he's going to say a line that means something, and then the second line is going to mean the same thing. He's going to say a line, and the second line is going to mean the same thing. Okay, let's read it. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Same idea. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. He's repeating himself over and over again. It says, against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us sing, in verse 3, they say, let us break their bonds of peace and cast their cords from us. So what the Bible's saying is that in synonymous parallelism, God will say something, and then he'll say it again. He'll say something and say it again, okay? You got a big head and none of your hats fit. Okay, so what Awestruck is going to do, Awestruck is 17 years old. Say, what's up, Awestruck? Ostruck is going to give us his modern-day version of synonymous parallelism, where he's going to sing something or he's going to say something, and then he's going to say something again that kind of means the same thing. Okay? Go ahead. Give Ostruck a big head.
I won't call you a big head, though. I want to be known as a Christian, not because I have said anything. Known as a Christian, not having to say anything. Not to speak my word to purge your ears for your memory, but to speak God's word to pierce your heart for eternity. Our God is great. How great is our God? We take our fear, worry, pain, hopes, and dreams unto the altar. My fear, worry, pain, hopes, and dreams is what I took. We look to Jesus and his mighty name to have an encounter. To look to Jesus, we are never the same. So I look.
That's it, very simple. So when you read, when you're reading the next couple weeks, you're gonna look for lines that say one thing and mean another. Then you say, why do I need to do that? Well, for a couple reasons. It's in the Bible. And two, so when you read it, you know what God's trying to do. He's trying to reinforce something. Because imagine you saying to God, God, thank you for my family. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my house. You are repeating and reinforcing God's goodness in your life. Antithetical parallelism is where one line means one thing and the second line of thought means something in the opposite. It's kind of like saying a line and then either saying or implying, but the opposite. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs is right after Psalm chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 33. God's going to say something, and then he's going to say the opposite. It says, Proverbs 3:33, it says, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but, everyone say but, he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. So God is going to say, if you do good, I'm going to love you, but if you do bad, you're going to be punished. If you bless me, I'll bless you. If you don't bless me, I won't bless you. Why is it important? So when you're reading this, you know that God has given you two choices. He's giving you an A and a B. And you don't want to get caught up, he's just repeating himself. No, he's trying to teach you something with this parallelism. Remember, it's music. It's also ways to remember stuff. And so Ostruck is going to give us a short one, and he's going to say a line or a phrase, and then he's going to say another one. Now, he might not say the word but what his next thought is going to be the opposite, hopefully. Yes, it is.
Yes, it will. God created man. Man didn't create God. He's the all time. Yo, we run out of time. We make habits, become addicts of shame and secret shame. But he creates used to be's. I used to be insane. I used to be afraid. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give life and life abundantly. Enjoy.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. Thank you. Real quick, let's go. Now, here are the rules you're going to apply when you read this week. Real quick, because we're going to end with some worship here in a minute. Number one in your notes, it should say reading rules. When you're reading the assignment we give you, and it's in your notes, it should be in your lesson plan. Number one, you're going to look for what God attribute is the text empowering your soul to contemplate. So when you're reading poetic language, you want to say, is God empowering me to confess him? Is God empowering me to praise him? Is God empowering me to pray against my enemies, pray for the people I love? Is God empowering me to forgive, to repent for my sin? What is God empowering me to do? Number two, what emotion is the text empowering your soul to communicate to God? In other words, am I supposed to be telling God he's great? Am I supposed to be telling God he's a creator? Am I supposed to be telling God that he's patient or powerful? Look for that. And then it says, how is the text directing you to think and make decisions like God?
Okay, you just read some decisions, the difference between someone who's wise and someone who's a fool. Especially if you read Proverbs, it talks about a wise person and a fool. You may read Proverbs and realize, man, I'm a fool. Look at that. I do that all the time. Okay? A fool speaks before he thinks. How many of you guys know someone like that? How many of you are someone like that? Okay? So you know what it says? A wise person is, a matter of fact, a fool is thought wise when he holds his tongue. Woo! How many of y'all want to look smarter than you really are? Don't speak. Bible says. And reflect, after you read that, write down a 2 to 3 word sentence, prayer, or revelation summarizing how the text, as food for your soul, help you express yourself to God. In other words, when you read poetic language, you want to reflect on it, you want to pray on it, and then write down, what is God teaching you? How is he empowering you? What is he enlightening you? And then look for the parallelism. Is God saying the same thing, or is he saying the opposite? So for the next 7 days, read your devotion. Now, we have the band going to come out real quick, and we're going to sing a song, and we're going to have our soul expressed to God. Remember, these songs are ways to empower our soul to express to God. It's not words from our mouth.